Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
That's all we need. You, me, and Jake. You, me, and Jake.
Let's do it then.
You, me, and Jake. It's the title of my new podcast. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rosdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
And welcome back, Kai. I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, April 8th. And happy Eclipse Day. I just popped out on the patio to safely, with eclipse glasses, have a little look here in D.C. Got a little slice of it, but nothing too serious.
How does it look? You guys are going to get like 90% or something, right?
Yeah, but right now it's not.
Oh, it's not
later
all right.
on.
All right.
Are you going to get any of it? You can't see anything.
We got like 49%. I just went out. I don't have eclipse glasses, so I just went out and I did that. You know, you look at the sidewalk through leaves and the shadow on the sidewalk, and you can sort of see it. And I could sort of see it. It was a little blurry, but, you know, it was okay. It was all right, you know.
Yeah, my mother just sent me photos of her and some of her siblings up in Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, nice.
Watching it, getting ready for it. It's funny, I had an interview today with a professor, and it didn't occur to me that she was at the University of Indiana at Bloomington, and she was like, if you can talk right now, we can do the interview. But then I got to go to the eclipse.
Look, blame her, right? You can't blame her. If I were in the path of totality, I'd be sitting there doing nothing. I actually would be doing what my oldest son is doing. He drove from Washington, D.C., out to Cleveland, and he just sent a picture in the family chat of him and some buddies having martinis in the eclipse. Oh, to be young and stupid.
That feels very classy.
Yes, yes, yes. Anyway,
what kind of glasses were they having the martinis in?
Oh, and little plastic tumblers. I don't know. They're college or just.
But
just
at least
out
it wasn't
kids.
Red Solo cups.
It was not red Solo cups. That's true. That's true. Yes.
That's all I wanted to know.
All right. Fair enough. What do you got?
Well, speaking of young folks, I guess not young, so young folks, what's it called? Today, the Biden administration announced another round of student loan forgiveness / assistance debt relief. And they have been trying at this six ways to Sunday, and every single attempt is being, challenged and sued and whatever. But for all it's worth, lots of people are actually getting relief. I think at this point, most of us know someone who's gotten some debt relief, and I think that the Biden administration is in a bit of a mad dash to.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Get the most visible results of their policies that they can before November, because a lot of the work that the Biden administration has done is stuff that's going to show up later, like the CHIPS Act, the Inflation Reduction Act. A lot of the visual, or at least the way that most people are going to feel these things, are going to be years down the road. And when he's not going to get credit for it. And so it's fascinating to watch them try to do as much as they can that they can visibly say, this is something that we did that you can see right now and we can definitely get credit for. And, you know, it was, for what it's worth, not necessarily a campaign promise, but a campaign indication that he was going to at least make an effort at this.
Yeah, and he's getting, he gave it a shot. Supreme Court said no, and other courts, you know, are weighing in, and we'll see where this one goes. What's interesting to me is that and this is very American of the body politic, he's not getting credit for having tried.
Yeah, you know? That's a good point. Yeah, I was over the weekend looking at some numbers on student loan burden in the United States, and like, there are still billions of dollars being held by people who are over 62 years old.
Yeah.
Like, people over 62 still hold a significant, like, burden, like something upwards of like 1 or 2 million borrowers that are over 62 and still paying off their student loans, which is wild to me.
Think about that. That's 40 years after graduation. You know, NPR had a good piece this morning pointing out about this latest effort by the Biden administration. And one of the things that the reporter pointed out was that a lot of people now owe more than they borrowed, thank you to interest rates and all of that. And which just, that's got to be debilitating. You know, I'm lucky enough to have been able to pay mine off. But man, it's got to be debilitating.
My parents told me, and I was so frustrated because I wanted to go to a different school than I did. But that school would have required me taking out roughly $250,000 in debt over time. Because I was not getting enough student aid versus I could go to Mizzou for free.
Right.
And my parent with scholarships and grants and things like that. And my parents' MO always was, if you get a scholarship, you can go anywhere you want in the world. If not, we will pay to send you to any community college in St. Louis. And as frustrated as I was as a teenager to not be able to leave Missouri when I wanted to, I have forever been grateful to have not taken on student loan debts, especially to see how it's affected other people. Like, I don't think I would own my home right now if I had student loans.
Oh, for sure. For sure you wouldn't. Absolutely. Yeah. No question about it.
Very fortunate. What about you? What you got?
All right. So mine is, as I wrote in the rundown, mine is today's installment of Jamie Dimon Gets Too Damn Much Attention. So Jamie Dimon runs the biggest bank in the country. It's amazingly profitable, $50 billion last year. That's all great. But every utterance out of his mouth gets way too much coverage. It's not like they're freaking all pearls of wisdom. It's frankly sometimes self-serving. Sometimes it's wrong, as he has been many times in the past 18 months, 2 years, talking about interest rates and how a, quote, hurricane was going to hit the American economy. I mention this because Dimon's annual letter to shareholders is out today. 61 pages Mr. Dimon wrote, or his staff wrote for him, talking about the economy. And the headline in the Wall Street Journal today is, Jamie Dimon warns U.S. might face interest rate spike. Well, yes, and also the sun might explode. It's just, you know, these things could happen. I just think it's really irritating to me when people get too much credit for just being a guy in a position of power. Mostly, it should be said, a white guy. Dimon's been, you know, wrong so many times in the past. And look, clearly he's doing something right running his bank. But the idea that he can actually tell us what's going to happen with this economy is just not grounded. In fact, nobody can. We don't know. We don't know. And that's it.
It's
he's
still
just
wild to me how confident people are with their projections of this economy after having learned nothing, it seems, in the last couple of years, when it has been demonstrated over and over and over again that the post-pandemic economy is not one, not that we're completely out of it, but it's not an economy that we have seen before.
Right.
It is fundamentally different in the way that the supply shocks hit, the way that demand changed, the way that, you know, millions of people globally died and many people are dealing with long COVID, and the emotional trauma it did to the world and how that's changed everyone's shopping and living behaviors. Yeah. Like, and people are still like, oh yeah, let's still use the old models and just pretend like everything is the same.
Right. Totally. Not to name drop, but I did a thing with Jay Powell a week ago Friday at the San Francisco Fed, and I asked him basically that question. I was like, you know, is it so bad for the Fed to say, yeah, we just don't know? And he said, no, we say that all the time. We just don't know what's going on. We're doing the best we can with the data we have. And that, I think, is the best way to be humble, you know?
And people are still like, but what they're really doing is this.
I know.
A signal of such and such.
I know. I don't think there's a whole lot of three-dimensional chess going on here. Anyway, that's my rant for the day. Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday. Let's do some smiles. We kind of did my smile at the top. I'm excited about the eclipse. I've been watching NASA's live stream because, you know, it's better.
No, it's cool, and it's cool.
And they're just sort of following the totality across the country, and I'm sure you can rewatch it later if you miss it. But I just think it's cool. What's also cool is just how excited people get about it, and it's an opportunity to learn about space and science, and
totally.
It makes me happy.
Totally. I think it's really cool. I think the saturation coverage is a little much, but it is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I didn't need the weeks and weeks and weeks of coverage leading up to it.
So today in there's a market in everything. Another piece in the Wall Street Journal today, the A-head on that paper, which is their quirky little column that goes on the front page. Kids in school today having smart devices and computers and all that jazz are trafficking in pencils, like little tiny nubs of pencils that they have intentionally ground down, and they're trading them for candies and stuff. It's kids today, man. It's just weird. It's kind of amazing.
Why?
Because they're quirky and they are relics of a time gone by, right? They don't need pencils much anymore. Tests are automated these days. The SATs are now on computers and all that stuff. It's kind of wild.
Reading this. It says, they're a status symbol, said Nora Rodriguez, an eighth grader in Peachtree City, Georgia. She has grown out of the mini pencil fad because why, she said with an older kid attitude. Yep. Yet she still has favorites and keeps them in a pencil pouch with her eyelash curler, lip gloss, mirror, and brush.
It's great.
Oh, my gosh.
It's great. It's a little bit of kids today, and it's a little bit of there is a market in everything. Just, put a little smile
on your face. Man, I still have many pencils in a drawer. Clearly, I need to be marketing myself.
Yes, you do.
I wonder if I can put them on eBay or something.
You totally could. Grind them down really small, like 2 inches, and then sell them. They'll go. Anyway. Anywho.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. All right. That is it for us today. Join us tomorrow for our weekly deep dive. We're going to talk about what's going on in the electric vehicle market right now and how competition from other automakers, are stacking up against Tesla, because we always love to talk about Tesla.
Yeah, interesting times in EVs. That's why Janet Yellen was in China. She was talking about that a little bit. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's program is engineered by Jake Cherry. Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter. Our intern is Talia Menchaca.
Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital.
And there we have it.
All right. Yellen was in China for the overcapacity.
Well, yeah, which part of which is clean energy, right? Their production of that stuff.
Yeah. I learned that word last week, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to deploy this everywhere. Overcapacity.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.